History in 5 Songs with host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back again to another edition of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right. So this is episode 231. I'm calling this Birmingham's Black Sabbath Family. These are kind of tentative links, but these are the main bands that have links to this whole Birmingham home of metal thing. I don't know if you know this, but there's a whole website museum situation. Lisa Meyer, I guess, has been putting this thing together. A home of metal. Birmingham, England is called the home of metal, mainly for three reasons, I'd say. Basically, Black Sabbath is from there. Half of Led Zeppelin is from the West Midlands, right? John Bonham and Robert Plant, Band of Joy, right? And Judas Priest is from there. So we are going to talk about Judas Priest a little bit here as well. But those are the main reasons. Some other stuff will come up along the way here. But I wanted to keep this focused and central on the idea of heavy metal. So Birmingham, I always forget how Birmingham is not really all that far north. I mean, it is the Midlands, but it's actually quite low. I mean, it's essentially right next to Wales. So this is why, we have these ties between Judas Priest and Budgie. They're closer together than I always kind of remember it in my mind. I guess the city proper is around 1.145 million, but the wider metro area is 4.3 million Birmingham, making it the largest outside of London. So city of 1,000 trades. This is a city that birthed a lot of music, and we're going to mention a few things in the honorable mentions as well. But it has a rich heritage. It's pretty widely known at this point, but I think this home of metal situation was pretty cool. Jim Simpson, early Black Sabbath manager, you can put at the center of this whole thing. Polkatuck blues band, Earth, that whole situation. But very notably, Henry's Blues House, the Crown on Stationhurst Street, Birmingham. This whole black country situation with it being kind of high industry and metalwork and all that, and Rob Halford talks about the clanging of the machines making metal, and Tony Iommi working in the business and obviously having his accident with his finger. Jim Simpson, he was part of that locomotive situation as well. So he's a manager, he's running this club, he's bringing all these bands in. He says there's a lot of places out there. I did a long interview with him and a bunch of that, or maybe even a couple, but it's in my Black Sabbath FAQ book. He talks about the history. There was the Metro Club on Livery Street, the Flower Pot, opposite Digbeth Police Station. We had the Rainbow, Carlton Ballroom, Coach and Horses. He says there were a lot of music stores as well. The one thing Birmingham kind of lacked was good recording facilities. He mentions the Cecil Viles at George's Clay's on Broad Street. So this was a city that, I remember from my conversation with him, he said there was music happening all the time. There was lots and lots and lots of live music, a lot of opportunities to make music in that town. It was a thriving sort of scene. It is a little bit about America's home of metal, Detroit, in that it was a very industrial town, and it was absolutely thriving as well for entertainment around this time as well. So the early 70s kind of situation, late 60s, early 70s. So yeah, Detroit, of course, is the other home of metal, and we can go through all that as well. The whole Stooges, MC5, SRC, Ted Nugent, the Amboy Dukes, Grand Funk, all that kind of thing, right? So there is the rivalry, but yeah, I think given that we around these parts talk about Black Sabbath being the birth of heavy metal, You know, especially that first album, Black Sabbath, Black Sabbath, February 13th, 1970. It is definitely the home of metal. So let's get into this a little more. So these are bands, like I say, keeping the focus tight. These are the bands that are somewhat associated with Black Sabbath. And that's why we're calling this episode 231, Birmingham's Black Sabbath Family. So let's take a listen to our first track. This is Judas Priest with Never Satisfied. All right, so this is off of Judas Priest Rock and Rolla, which is 1974, but I've put them first here because I feel like, given that they were formed in 1969, Al Atkins, they had lots of lineup changes all along the way. We've got Glenn Tipton coming in from another Birmingham band, the Flying Hat Band, a little later. That's basically, you know, 73, 74 kind of situation. But the cool thing about this band, and we have a whole episode in History in Five Songs here, that was called Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath as Doppelgangers, right? So you go listen to that one and hear that whole history, how this is a band that was around since 1969, first album 1974, but Black Sabbath is recording albums in 70, 70, 71, 72, 73, 75, right? So Black Sabbath is well on its way and famous basically almost immediately. So yeah, their paths diverge immediately. How are they related to the Black Sabbath family besides that? Besides, you know, playing all those same venues and being around that scene. Roger Bain produces the album that this is from. This is from Rock and Roll, the 1974 album. So Roger Bain produces this. He also produces the first Budgie album, but he produces the first three Black Sabbath albums. And of course, Rob Halford was technically in Black Sabbath for that guesting situation he did. And of course, they're all buddies and stuff. So Judas Priest, kind of the baby Black Sabbath, right? I've always talked about how, you know, Black Sabbath invents metal, but really from 1970 to 76, maybe there's a whole episode in this we can talk about. I'm sure I've touched upon this many times, but this whole idea that from 70 through to Sad Wings of Destiny in 76, there's just a bunch of good metal albums, but there's no massive, massive improvement. Sad Wings of Destiny, I always talk about as the first big, huge, huge sort of improvement in heavy metal. So that's a super important album as well there. Okay, let's take a short break and we'll be right back. All right, back again here, episode 231, Birmingham's Black Sabbath Family. So we are talking about bands that are part of this orbit, part of this this doomy black shining light that Black Sabbath shines on Birmingham, dominates Birmingham as the home of metal, as we've discussed. So these are bands with somewhat links to Black Sabbath. Take a listen to our second selection here. This is Trapeze with Way Back to the Bone. Not what you say, I can feel all this been sold. Strange it seemed, and I felt it till I got home. I drove right back to the place again. I said, listen, way back to the bone. All right, so this is from You Are the Music, We're Just the Bands. This is the other pretty much most famous quote-unquote hard rock band besides Black Sabbath in those early years, because Judas Priest didn't have any albums out. So this is from You Are the Music, We're Just the Band 72, but they had a debut album called Trapeze in 1970. They had Medusa in 1970 as well. And Medusa's a pretty hard rocking album. Glenn Hughes is the connection here. So Glenn Hughes is in Black Sabbath for one album, the Seventh Star album, right? And then he also does Iommi Hughes. So he's recording a bunch of music later on with Tony Iommi. But yeah, he's in this band. He's out of Trapeze by after that third album, You Are the Music, We're Just the Band. But they do Hotwire in 74, Trapeze in 1975. Hold On in 1979. Of course, the other interesting thing here about this band, so for this album, they are a trio. Glenn Hughes is in it, of course, bass, piano, and vocals. But Mel Galley is on guitar. He would be most famed for Whitesnake. And then Dave Holland is the drummer, and he'd be Judas Priest drummer all through the 80s kind of situation, right? So essentially, yeah, so there's some other links there as well. But again, they're in the Black Sabbath orbit because they are actually a hard rock band, so they somewhat belong here. All right, let's take a listen to our third selection here. This is Necromandus with Nightjar. Okay, I don't want to get you all excited about this Necromandus band. They weren't that heavy. They were kind of a folky, proggy, you know, country-ish, rockin' sort of band. This Nightjar song is the most famous famous song. The album is called Erexus of Death. This was recorded in 1973, but it wasn't released until, I think, 1999. So this is one of those famous shelved albums. But the interesting thing about this band is, yes, they are from Birmingham, but Tony Iommi took them under his wing. He wanted to, you know, think about getting into management. So he was managing them a little bit there when he could. But essentially, so yeah, 72, 73, Tony Iommi is involved. He even provides a guitar solo on the title track of this, you know, like I say, unreleased album, Erexus of Death. So yeah, so he's in there, but basically the band sort of self-destructs after one of the main guys, Barry Dunnery, leaves the band. So yeah, the record doesn't come out till 99. There is a re-release in 2005 where you get a couple of bonus tracks. It was also reissued in 2010. It's just not that great an album. But the other, you know, pretty interesting thing about this. Well, first off, you know, I wanted to mention there's literally one surviving member of the original group, Frank Hall. Everybody else died. But one of the kind of intriguing things about this band is that when Ozzy was thinking of getting out with his solo career, Blizzard of Oz, remember that cool picture? There's a picture you can find of Ozzy wearing a Ozzy Osbourne band or Blizzard, I think it's a Blizzard of Oz shirt with sort of a different logo thing early on kind of thing. So when he was thinking of putting this thing together, his first thought was to get a couple of guys from Necromandus. And I think it was Dennis McCartan, Barry Dunnery, and Frank Hall. I mean, he essentially wanted to, you know, grab this whole Necromandus band to be his original Blizzard of Oz. So that's kind of cool. You know, on the strength of the record, I wouldn't say that would have been such a great idea, because I really don't think that this is that great of one of these fabled unreleased sort of things. So there you go, Necromandus, Nightjar. All right, let's play our next selection here. Track number 4 here on History in 5 Songs. This is Quartz with Pleasure Seekers. All right, so this is from the Quartz album. So this is the self-titled album that my version, so it came out in 1977. The connection here is Tony Iommi produces this, right? And another connection to the whole Black Sabbath thing is that Quartz was originally recording for Jet Records, which was Don Arden, you know, Sharon Arden. And so there's that whole connection there with Ozzy and Sabbath as well. But so this is Quartz. My copy of this, I got the reissued version of this in 1980 called Quartz Deleted. So they renamed it and they put it in a paper bag. But as you can tell, that was a pretty heavy track. It was pretty cool. It was well recorded, so very competently recorded. And the main Sabbath Eve song on here, I didn't want to pick it this time because we included it on a previous issue or episode, maybe even two, of History in Five Songs. Mainline Riders, absolute drop-dead, super heavy metal Black Sabbath sort of classic from 1977. So it's like a real precursor to the new wave of British heavy metal, right? But yeah, what I love about this whole situation, so Quartz used to be called Bandy Legs, and they even supported Black Sabbath, right? So there's another connection there. So the Jet Records, the Tony Iommi is involved here. Tony Iommi, I believe, let me just check this here. I think he played, Brian May was part of this as well. Yeah, Tony Iommi guested on something here, I believe. But the other big connection, of course, is Jeff Nichols was in Quartz, right? So Jeff Nichols was a big part of Quartz, and then he becomes Black Sabbath's keyboardist, and sadly we lost him recently, and his son actually, it's a whole long story, but we had a long correspondence about, he got all of Dad's tapes, and you know, there was that little hubbub a little while ago about that unreleased Heaven and Hell era track with Ronnie James Dio singing, right? So Jeff was all totally involved in all that stuff, and he was kind of their main keyboardist for a lot of years. But the other amazing thing about Quartz, because I always like to talk about Quartz, is that the second album, Stand Up and Fight, which now they're on MCA, 1980, is an absolute new wave of British heavy metal classic, and it's got a song on there that sounds like Megalomania. It's Wildfire, right? I think it's that song. But yeah, it's got the whole riff of Megalomania. So there's another kind of connection there. But that album is so competently recorded, beautifully written. This band should have been bigger, but they've lost some members along the way. And then they only ever did one other album at the time, which is a brooding heavy metal classic as well, Against All Odds. That was on Heavy Metal Records. Which again, you know, another Black Sabbath connection, come to think of it. Heavy Metal Records has that centerpiece that looks like, remember Paul Birch is running that label, that looks like Ozzy, right? The centerpiece based on Ozzy. And then Quartz, reforms later on, and they've got Fear No Evil and On the Edge of No Tomorrow. I wrote up the whole long story of Stand Up and Fight. You can get that as a 99-cent ebook over at Zunier.com. I have like 50 or 60 of those one album stories over there for 99 cents. And now a whole bunch of my top 20s are over there as well. So there's got to be 20 of those, maybe even 25, 99 cents, $1.49 kind of thing. That's the court situation. Love these guys. Yeah. So I interviewed them later on, Jeff Nichols is one of the most prominent members, but of course Malcolm Cope on drums as well. He's been there on everything. And then Mick Hopkins, big guy as well there, guitar, 1974 to present. What made Quartz amazing on this song, Pleasure Sinkers, is Mike Taffy Taylor on vocals. He was there for all of that original stuff. Actually, except the third album, that was Jeff Bate on vocals, 1983 to 84. But yeah, sadly, Mike Taffy Taylor, we lost him in 2016. But what a great singer he is. Check out that Stand Up and Fight album. Amazing. And Against All Odds is a really spooky, kind of heavy, gritty album as well. It's really cool. All right, let's move on to our fifth selection. Take a listen to this. This is Diamond Head with Starcrossed, Lovers of the Night. Okay, so this is Diamond Head up into the underrated. I really like this album a lot. This is the sort of stranded album from 1993, Death and Progress. Remember the Diamond Head situation, of course. So this is I wanted to include these guys here because I think they're kind of the most famous, the most traditional heavy metal band of all these bands that are part of this thing. Well, obviously, yeah, Judas Priest, Quartz as well, but Diamond Head are the most famous of, you know, more famous than Quartz in the new wave of British heavy metal situation, and they've continued on. Love Brian Tatler. And Sean Harris, of course, on vocals. There's a tie-in with Mike Taffy Taylor, because Sean Harris really makes Diamond Head. And so they have the absolute classic Lightning to the Nations album in 1980. They've got Borrowed Time, which is a bit of a pooch, in 1982. And then they've got Canterbury in 83, and then they're kind of gone. You know, Sean Harris gives us that amazing, notorious dance metal, quote-unquote, type album. But yeah, this is from Death and Progress. And the cool thing about this is this song, Star-Crossed, in brackets, Lovers of the Night, Tony Iommi co-wrote it, and plus he does a solo on it. So yeah, here he is, just being the good Birmingham Brummy citizen, and getting together with Brian Tatler and doing this song. And of course, the other famous thing about this album, Death and Progress, is Dave Mustaine is on a song on it as well. Really, really cool song. Is he on Truckin'? Is that it? Anyways, there's some great, great tunes on this. And then Diamond Head, of course, comes back and does All Will Be Revealed, 2005, What's in Your Head, 2007, Diamond Head, 2016, Coffin Train, and they redo Lightning to the Nations in 2020. Unfortunately, there's a couple of different lead singers on these albums, and you know me and lead singers, we've got a whole episode of this you can go check out, of course. But yeah, this whole situation with, you know, I love this band so much. Sean Harris is a huge, huge part of this band, and of course, that's one of the reasons I love them a lot. But Brian Tatler is such a great heavy metal songwriter and riff writer. He's one of the unheralded great riff writers. So there's a lot of great music and non-obvious and really interesting, not unexpected sort of cool ways to do heavy metal that you get on those reunion albums. But yeah, I had to put them in here as one, and it is valid because it's got this connection as well. So as you can tell, with all five of these, the connections are just a little bit, right? They're tiny connections, because, you know, Black Sabbath is from Birmingham, but they're basically on their way. They're a big famous band pretty much immediately upon the first album, so they're not home all that much, right? They're out touring the world, and they hit America hard as well. So there you go. Those are our ones with our Black Sabbath connections. I wanted to bring some honorable mentions as well here. These are just to give you an indication of how important Birmingham is in the music scene. Well, another connection is Tony Martin. So Tony Martin is also from there, and he's a solo artist, and he's in Black Sabbath. So obviously that's a completely valid one. Moody Blues. Now the connections are kind of a little less, but like I mentioned, John Bonham and Robert Plant, they're important. Down a Heavy Metal Path. Pathway as well. Napalm Death is a big famous heavy metal band from there. Didn't know Duran Duran was from Birmingham, but The Move, ELO, Wizard, that whole Jeff Lynne orbit. So that's a situation. Not exactly a heavy band, but Traffic, Slade. Slade is from Wolverhampton, I believe, kind of thing. But yeah, so they're in here as an early hard rock band, but the connections are not that that deep, I suppose. Magnum, I almost thought I would put Magnum in here because I love the way that they are. They're a big, prolific, love them to death, really cool band. Kind of like a progressive pomp rock / heavy band. Godflesh, of course, is a heavy band. So yeah, Birmingham gives us this whole real Noisnik sort of situation with that whole nexus of, you know, the Godflesh. Cathedral's kind of not from there, right? But the Napalm Death kind of situation. Spencer Davis, Shy, that's kind of interesting. So Shy was one of the early bands that tried to be a commercial, almost like pre-hair metal, nascent hair metal, very commercial poppy version of new wave of British heavy metal, but they're from there. Doomed, Charge, GBH, City Boy. So that's an interesting one. Obviously no real connections per se, but an early Mutt Lang vehicle, right? Kind of hard rocking at times. I love that The Day the Earth Caught Fire album. Jameson Raid, so there's another new wave of British heavy metal band. Couple other really super early ones: Mythology, Velvet Fog, and Forest. And then, like I say, you've got the Flying Hat Band in there as well with Glenn Tipton. And Starfighters. Pretty cool. So Stevie Young, so this is a band that put out a couple gritty barroom rocking slash new wave of British heavy metal albums, but Stevie Young, of course, goes on to be a AC/DC guitarist, right? But no one can replace Malcolm Young, but replacement for Malcolm Young. He's a relative, of course. Hard Meat is another early one as well. Proggy, operating between 69 and 71. And then Locomotive, I believe I mentioned Locomotive earlier, but essentially Locomotive was a band that only put out one album. But Jim Simpson was actually in that band before that one album. He leaves in 1968, so they do have one album. So he leaves the band, but he acts as their manager, and he's got Big Bear Records, right? And he later becomes manager of Sabbath, so there is a true connection there. And there's also the Norman Haynes collection, Norman Haynes Band, tied up in this whole Locomotive, early Black Sabbath, Earth slash Nexus. And one I almost put in here, but there's no real connection or good enough connection, I suppose. Another Birmingham band, Blackfoot Sioux. I almost put in here the song Bye Bye Birmingham, just to actually have more Birmingham linked to this, but they had an album in 73 called Nothing to Hide, and Strangers from 1974, and that song is from Strangers. And then they had an unreleased album, Gun Running, 1975. And I went through that their catalog again, and it's occasionally kind of hard rock and stuff, right? Really good heavy one off the first one. I can't remember what it was called again. So I wanted to put them in because I wanted to find some bands that are, you know, to me they line up with Necromandus and Bandy Legs, the pre-Quartz band, more than anything. Wanted to have another hard rocking sort of band in there. And then there's lots and lots of new bands. You can Google and find, Birmingham has a long music scene, so there's lots of bands from the 90s and 2000s in there as well. But there you go. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/martinpopoff, hit that red support button, and buy me a coffee or a pint. It's got this $3 easy PayPal kind of thing. This week I would like to thank Joe Becht, Mark Brager, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Martin Olson, John Olson, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Philip Edward Phyllis, Steve Polari, Brian Sager, and Daryl Woodard. On the book front, you can go to martinpopoff.com. Packing up and sending a lot out right now is my brand new Kiss book, Kiss at 50. So that's there. Of course, I'm signing all these books and sending them out of my office here. But yeah, Kiss at 50. Still got the Pink Floyd, the Bowie. I think I have two left of each of those and one left. Actually, I got to order more AC/DC. I've actually got one just with a bumped corner of AC/DC. If anybody wants one of those and wants a deal on one, let me know. And anything for that matter, like just email me at martinp@inforamp.net. If you've heard me talk about my famed Hertz box. Occasionally, books don't make the trip over from the UK too easily. So there's a lot of actually the Blue Oyster Cult Dominance and Submission in that, and that's doing well too. People like that book. So that's there. Stay tuned for a follow-up to Flaming Telepaths, my Imagino story book. But I am out of that now. But I can get more of that as well. My illustrations, I want to get back to that, but you can go to martinpopoff.ca, and I've got these card sets, and you get prints of that stuff as well. But yeah, for the books, all martinpopoff.com. So, your homework for, I am definitely going to pick this. Your homework for this episode, go play Quartz, Stand Up and Fight. I just love that album to death, front to back. This is a really competent, well put together new wave British heavy metal album on MCA Records, 1980. Hail to Birmingham for this episode 231, Birmingham's Black Sabbath family.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.
Hey It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.